Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Paradhai Jaya Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Paradhai Jaya Sodanandana Bhajajana Ranjana Sodanandana Bhajajana Ranjana Jamona Tira Vanachari Jamona Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Haribo, 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 Nittai Gaur Haribo. Jai Amishpata Namangsa Puribhara Sarasi Samarabhaya Chayavinna Bhakti Vidanda Swami Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Iskan Pound Acharya Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai, Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai, Paramchi Gho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Garada Shri Basari Gaur Bhaktivinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Madhava Gokavina Shamakunarakan Giri Gavadan ki jai, Shri Vindavana Shri Maturdham ki jai, Shri Navaditya Mayapodam ki jai, Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Sangha Veda Bhakta Vinda ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Jai Nithai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, this morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, Chapter 13, entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 15. Ambho Janma Janis Tarantara Keto Maiha Bhatsito Janma Janis Tarantara. Yeah. Rastu manjo mahetva manad apita vatsanito vatspa. Nitvanyacha kudbhavadhantarararhat kevastitoya pura. Vistagga shura moksanam pavata prapta param vishmayam. Ambho janma janistarantarakato maiha bhakshasiti tu. Drastu manju mahitva manyarapi tarvatsanito vatsapa. Nitranya chakudhara hantara dadhach keva sistoya pura. Vistaga sura mokshanam pavavata prapta param vishmayam. Ambho janma janistarantaragato maya bhakshashito. Yastu mandu mahita manyarapita vatsamito vatsata. Vanya chakudharam tararadha keva sistoya pura. Vistaga shuramakshanam tarata prata param vishmaya. Taragato maya bhaktam susitu. Vastu mantu mahitanam yaratita vatsam ito vasatam. Nitranya chakuru padham taradarat kevastito yatara. Vistaradashura machandhavata prapaparam vishmaya. Ambho Janma Jani. Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. Tat antaragataha. Now became entangled with the affairs of Krishna, who is enjoying luncheon pastimes with his cowherd boys. Maya arbhaksha, of the boys made by Krishna's maya. Ishituhu, of the Supreme Controller. Drastum, just to see. Manju, very pleasing. Mahitvam anayatapi, other glories of the Lord also. Tatpatsan, their calves. Iha, itaha, than that place where they were. Vatsyapan, and the cowherd boys taking care of the calves. Nitva, bringing them. Anyatra, to a different place. Kurudva, O Maharaj Pukshit. Antara Dadhat, kept hidden and invisible for some time. Ke avastitaha cha, this person Brahma, who was situated in the higher planetary systems in the sky. Pura, formerly Drishtva, was observing Agasura Mokshanam, the wonderful killing and deliverance of Agasura from material tribulation. Pabhavata, of the all-potent supreme person. Praptaha param vishmayam, had become extremely astonished. Translation: O Maharaj Pariksit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary systems in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who is engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. Please repeat. O Maharaj Pariksit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary systems in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who is engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in the very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada's last purports, this chapter. When Agasura was being killed by Krishna, who was accompanied by his associates, Brahma was astonished. But when he saw that Krishna was very much enjoying his pastimes of lunch, he was even more astonished and wanted to test whether Krishna was actually there. Thus he became entangled in Krishna's maya. After all, Brahma was born materially. As mentioned here, Ambhojanma Janmi. He was born of Ambhoja, a lotus flower. It doesn't matter that he was born of a lotus flower and not of any man, animal, or material father. A lotus is also material, and anyone born through the material energy must be subject to the four material deficiencies. Brahma, the tendency to commit mistakes. Pramada, the tendency to be illusioned. Vritpalipsha, the tendency to cheat. And karanapattava, imperfect senses. Thus, Brahma also became entangled. Brahma, with his maya, wanted to test whether Krishna was actually present. Those cowherd boys were but expansions of Krishna's personal self, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pradidabhabhi. Later, Krishna would show Brahma how he expands himself into everything as his personal pleasure, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pladini Shakti Asmat. Krishna has a transcendental potency called Pradini Shakti. He does not enjoy anything that is a product of the material energy. Brahma, therefore, would see Lord Krishna expand his energy. Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but that was impossible, and instead he took away a Maya Sita. Similarly, Brahma took away Maya Bhaktaha, Maya Bhaka, boys manifest by Krishna's Maya. Brahma could show some extraordinary opulence to the Mayar Bhakta, Mayar Bhaka, but he could not show any extraordinary potency to Krishna's associates. That he would see in the very near future. Mayar Bhakasa Ishitu. This bewilderment, this Maya, was caused by the Supreme Controller, Prabhavata, the all-potent Supreme Person, Krishna. And we shall see the result. Anyone materially born is subject to bewilderment. This pastime is therefore called Brahma Vimohan Lila, the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Mohitam Nabhi Janati Mam Ebhya Param Avyayam. Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Materially born persons cannot fully understand Krishna. Even the demigods cannot understand him. Muyantiyat Suraiha. Tehi Brahma Hideya Adikavaye. Bhagavatam 1:1:1. Everyone from Brahma down to the small insect must take lessons from Krishna. End of purport. Ame Gyanantanam Dasya Gyanantanam Salataya. Thank you. नमो विष्णु विराय कृष्णा विषाय भूतरे श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष सुंदरारी प्रसुरकारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गिरारा श्री बांसुरी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Translation again. O Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura. And he was astonished now. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's absence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became engaged, for in the very near future, he would see how powerful Krishna is. So Krishna's pastimes, they all take place in the internal energy. And no one can enter those pastimes unless sanctioned by Krishna. So as explained here, Lord Brahma, he was born in the material world, oh, for the material purpose. Although he was born from a lotus, that lotus was coming from the navel of Lord Vishnu. But still, he's the Brahma's a guna avatar. He's actually going to deal with the material nature, the modes of nature. So he's considered an avatar for the material situation, for the taking charge of the mode of passion. So Lord Krishna is the Shaktiman. All the different potencies are coming from Krishna. Primarily we hear of the three potencies, the internal, external, and the marginal. But actually there's hundreds and thousands of categories of potencies that Krishna works with. But that's how they're categorized in those particular, in those three groups. So it's by his desire, yeah? Krishna's desire is actual fact, or becomes fact, whatever he wants, he just desires. There's no separation of, like in the material world, we have there's a force, there's an energy we have to confront, time and space. So when we have a desire, it's with a great effort we have to endeavor to achieve that desire. But that time and space is absent in the spiritual world. Although the day is divided up, Krishna has his pastimes, different times of the day, morning, afternoon, evening, and night. But it is explained incomprehensibly for us, an eternally present time. Time is eternally present. So everyone is living in the present moment. Anyway, this is this is how Krishna's by his desire, he says Krishna's determination is actual fact. He has nothing to. He has no forces like we have. Kunta, that place is called Vaikunta. Kunta means force or obstacle that we face in the material world. But that doesn't affect the spiritual and the original spiritual energy is not like that. So it's simply by Krishna's desire he gets what he wants. So all these creations, all these spiritual worlds, all the spiritual planets, all the material worlds, the material, that's Krishna's desire. He desired this and it happens, just happens. Not that he had to get any training. He didn't go to study architecture and engineering or sociology, politics, to the laws governing these places are also created by Krishna with the help of his internal energies. Not that he sits down and writes it and thinks about it. He just desires it. Then his energies, personified energies, they take over and they arrange everything flawlessly, seamlessly. So it's instant. Everything happens simultaneously. There can't be any hindrance to the Lord's activities of enjoying with his internal energy in different forms. So it seems that, you know, Krishna, the different energies, they don't actually touch. The internal energy and the external energy, they're acting differently. It's the same one energy. Krishna is Shaktiman. He's this one energy, he's one Sarup Shakti that acts in different ways according to his desire. So according to how the energy acts, we give it the name spiritual, material, marginal, etc. But it's Krishna's one internal energy from his own Sarup Shakti. So for him, for Krishna, there's no real distinction, because the energies, the one energy is acting exactly how he wants it to act. Therefore, we categorize it and name it. But for Krishna, it's not a problem. For the living condition, living entities, we have a problem. So we're trying to overcome problems, but we have to deal with it. But for Krishna, that same energy can change. One is influenced by the Mahamaya Shakti, by Krishna's desire. That can change, and you can come under the influence of the Jogmaya potency. This is wanted. This is the perfection of life. So they don't actually touch us, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He's explaining about the soul, how the soul is. It can't be dried, can't be. It doesn't grow old. The soul is not actually influenced by the material energy. There's a spiritual particle within. And in the Bhagavatam, it's given lots of descriptions of the living entity, the soul, how it is not actually. Doesn't actually touch the material energy. But because he's identifying with material energy, the consciousness touches the material energy, thus he identifies with the material energy, and then he has to experience all those things that come along with the material energy, like, you know, the problems like birth, old age, disease, death, etc. Happiness, distress, hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear, all those kind of things were related to the body. They're not related to the soul, because the soul is eternal. So there's no fear. Soul is blissful, and the soul is full of knowledge, so there's no illusion. I mean, the Yogamaya is the illusory potency of Yogamaya. That's the natural ambience of the spiritual world. One has to become under one, the control of one either or the other, either Yogamaya or Mahamaya. Because they're all, you know, it's Krishna acting, Krishna's energy acting in diverse ways for his pleasure. So Krishna's having pleasure with his own internal potency. So we're expansions of that internal potency, the jivas, and all the spiritual worlds are expansions of that internal potency. and that includes the made of Haladini, partly. the Haladini pleasure potency, internal pleasure potency of the Lord, the internal knowing potency of the Lord, and the internal field or the playground or the place where the activities take place, and the people that perform the activities. That's the Lord's internal energy. That's all by His desire. So don't actually, the soul actually doesn't touch matter. It's just under illusion, identifying with matter. So it seems also like Krishna's pastimes are very bewildering, because he acts like ordinary person, seemingly. From external point of view, it looks like he's, you know, he's a young boy. He's going to the forest with his friends. They're playing. And but when these, but it seems that, yeah, and the, you know, the demons come, Bakasura, Agasura, they capture Krishna. Maya, the external Maya, it swallows Krishna. Right? So it seems that Maya is, you know, Krishna's an ordinary person. Right? But that's, he's allowing that to happen. Because when Krishna descends to the material world to enjoy these different types of pastimes as a child, etc., and to rescue the devotees who are suffering separation from him, and to bring in conditioned souls, reawaken the conditioned souls by performing these super excellent pastimes and bring them back to Godhead. So he appears there in this particular form, and but he's allowing these potencies, Yogamaya Leela potencies, they're allowing him to apparently be captured by Maya, right? Swallowed, Agasura, but Krishna, although he's apparently a very innocent, helpless child, he quickly deals with these great demons, kills them. He removes their ignorance, he removes their pride, and he gives them liberation. He removes their material body. So that's his kindness, his pastime. So they're not an actual threat to him. But for anyone observing, this is wonderful. This little boy, how powerful he is. So then you can appreciate Krishna more. He's the most powerful. He's the most resourceful. And he's the most clever. He's the most whatever. He's showing by these different pastimes how great he actually is. Even he's in a tiny little insignificant boy's body. Lord Brahma is seeing this. He's sick, because the demigods, although they can't join the pastimes, they can perceive them. They get a special pass from above in the higher regions. They can observe these pastimes. So therefore, when he kills a demon or does something, then they shower the flowers and say Jai Jai. They're very happy because they know. So Brahma's there. He knows that Krishna's the Supreme Lord. He knows that. Because he's seen Krishna performing his extraordinary pastimes, and that's very amazing. But here he says, Lord Brahma, he was okay. You show your power by, you know, killing a demon very easily. You know, God, you know, that's the kind of thing you expect God would to do. Yada yada hi dhamma shya ghani bhavati. He comes here to establish religious principles. He destroys the demons. He protects his devotees. Right? Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. These are good, noble things that you would expect from God. So killing demons, you would kind of expect that. He's a, you know, he's showing his prowess. He's a good person. But now these boys, they've got their lunch bags or their tiffins tied up in a cloth on a stick. And they're just fooling around in the forest, playing ball with bats, with sticks, and amalaki fruits, and veil fruits. And, you know, putting a blanket over you and going down on all fours and making funny sounds and pretending to be a bull and fighting the other boys like that. Spreading their lunch on taking a leaf to put their lunch on a nice stone, clean stone, put their food on there, or just some open the cloth and eat from that. eating with Krishna, wow, that looks really nice, Krishna. And telling the Krishna, take it. We used to say this, my mom cooked for me then. You try this, Krishna. So, you know, why would God do this? Why would he act like just stupid talk and stupid games? You know, no real meaning. So Brahma is actually Krishna there. I mean, I can appreciate him killing the demons, things like that. But why would he do this? Would you do that if you were God? So he couldn't quite get a handle on it. So he's very powerful. Let's see what happens if I take the boy playing a trick. I wonder what he'll do. Let's see more of his power. Is he actually there, first of all? And why on earth would the Lord be behaving like this? So Brahma's on it. But all those pastimes are because, you know, Krishna's enjoying loving relationships with his friends. That's all that's going on. He's enjoying his own pleasure potency, his own internal pleasure potency in different ways. And this is how he's doing it now. But for Brahma's the most exalted person, very sober. He's the first living entity in the universe. He's initiated directly. He knows Krishna directly from Krishna's flute. He visits Lord Vishnu, the thousand-headed Vishnu, on a regular basis. He takes his seat there, and Vishnu speaks to him in a voice like thunder, rolling clouds. And the Lord instructs him in about the affairs of the creation, how to create. The Lord instructs him on the process of bhakti, pure bhakti. Brahma hears that attentively, very sober. And then Brahma repeats what he's heard to make sure he's got it right. And then he comes back and he disseminates. So he knows the Lord, he's initiated by the Lord. But, okay, that's Vishnu, but why would he take such a position and, you know, catch hold of a calf's tail and be dragged around in the dust? Huh? Get covered with dust and mud and maybe some mix. And look, these demons are coming in and seemingly attacking them. But no, Krishna's just enjoying his pastimes. Krishna doesn't touch the material energy. That's not, the soul actually doesn't touch the material energy. So it's like the dham is eternal abode of Krishna. So the dham in the material world is spiritual places like Mayapur, Navadi Dham, Kije, Vrindavan, these places where the Lord appears or has his particular pastimes, they're of the same spiritual nature as this material, but they're within the Maya. The Maya Shakti, the Brahmanda, is based on ignorance, dark, based on ignorance, cloud. Then the material creation takes place there, but then the spirituality enters within that. And then the Lord enters within that. And all his associates come with him within that. But they're not affected by it. It's just like a bubble. Bubbles that when you see the Dham, as far as you can see, it's like a bubble. He said even the luminaries that come up, they're not the ordinary ones. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada said the only place you can see, you can enjoy the sunset and not be in Maya. Because because it's not the ordinary sun. So, yeah, so it seems that, you know, so then the spirituality enters into the Maya. And Maya enters into the spiritual pastime also. These are Suras, Baka, etc. The Brahmas trying to enter into the pastimes of Krishna, trying to disturb the pastimes of Krishna as a joke, or to see what, just to test, see what he's going to do next. But only if Krishna allows it, it can happen. But they're definitely not affected by it. When Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda and others, some of the Dvadasa Gopalas, to go back to, leave Puri, to go back and preach in Bengal. So in great unhappiness they left, but happy to execute the Lord's order. So their preaching was chanting, dancing, and enacting the leelas of the Lord. So because Nitai is not different from Balaram, and he has these Dvadasa Gopalas, some of the Gopal boys who are close to Balaram, they took forms in the Navadvip Leela. So they did a lot of these Gopa pastimes as young boys. And they absorbed in ecstasy. They didn't know which direction they were going. You know, they said, walk miles off that way. So some, they have to ask the directions. Because if it's so absorbed in the pastimes and kirtan, that nothing else really matters. But that's all they were enjoying the internal energy, the spiritual energy, the holy name of the Lord in kirtans. So that's why we, when that's our process, Shravanam, Kirtan, Smaranam. Right, you're hearing about the Lord's, these pastimes, or the names, fame, qualities of the Lord. You're talking about them, you're discussing them, you're rehearing them, and you're chanting them, remembering them. So now we're in touch with the spiritual energy while we're doing that. So that will insulate you from any karma or contact with the material energy, according to your degree of absorption in it and your appreciation of it. And that is actually the re-spiritualization. The purification comes automatically. The karma is burnt off by doing that. And so this is the natural process of bhakti, just by putting yourself in contact with the spiritual energy in his name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. That is the simple process that we follow. That does the work. We just have to stay in contact 24 hours a day. That's your success. But anyway, they were so absorbed in his pastimes that sometimes when they were doing his Gopa pastimes, the younger boys of the village, wherever they were, would become attracted and join in. And Nitai would encourage them. Yeah, he would give them something and play with them, and they would take part with them. They would enter the bubble of these pastimes in the material world, and the boys were ecstatic. Nitai would train them and give them sweet, or sometimes just slap them if they weren't misbehaving. And one time it went on for 1 month, completely oblivious to the material world. And the parents were thinking, "But my boy, he hasn't been on, he hasn't eaten." So they'd go up there in great anxiety, what's going on? Then they would be performing some of Krishna's pastime. And then they would come in, they would enter into the bubble. Then everything, there would be all different dimensions there. Or it would, in a spiritual world, there's no such problems of eating, tiredness, sleeping, and all those things that we have to do in the material world. You don't do that. It's not necessary in the spiritual world. There's no force there. There's no difficulty. So the parents would come into that thing, and they would, "Oh, everything's fine." And then we would go back again, and think, "Hey, my son hasn't eaten for 4 days." But then they're going back into the bubble, into the spiritual, the spiritual bubble. So their spiritual bubble, spiritual enters into the material world in places. Sometimes and then the materials can go into the spiritual bubble also. So like the demons and like Lord Brahma, he's powerful, Lord Brahma. So he's a really grave person. That's why he just can't understand why Krishna's that supreme lord. He's talking nonsense and he's doing nonsense with those kids. Those kids do nonsense, right? They have no responsibility. Only the calves, that's their only responsibility. Otherwise they're just having a good time. Goofing out, as you say. They have nothing else to do. And what they're supposed to do, they don't have any responsibilities. They didn't have to do any management or administration or politics. They're boys. They're kids. So that's it. So Brahma just couldn't get around that. Although maybe Krishna's not there, maybe something else is. Why would God do such a thing? But whatever the Lord does is for he's enjoying. So the circumstance or the forms that the Lord is doing it in, or the way he's doing it, that's irrelevant, really. He makes it exciting for the particular group who's there. It's very exciting, or all the different moods will come there, but it's not understandable by outsiders. That's why Krishna's very, very mysterious. No one can understand him because he doesn't act on the. He's not conditioned like us. We have a need to do things. Krishna has no need to do things. He has no lacking. He has no shortage. So he's, when you have nothing, if you're in that position where you don't need anything, then what do? You think about enjoying, right? How can I enjoy myself? The goal of everyone is pleasure. So when you have nothing to do, you finish your work, you've taken your meals, you've taken your bath, you feel fine, you've got free time, what do? Let's go and enjoy. Do what we... Now I can do whatever I like. Free time, prime time. Then you go and... That's what Krishna's like that all the time. The spiritual world is like that all the time. No, there's no pressure. And they're also Atmarama, there's actually no need. They can be perfectly happy doing anything. But they like variety. Pleasure comes in a variety of ways. So this is Lord Brahma's attempt to test if that's really Krishna. Because he just couldn't get his head around why he would do such things like that. So let me test him. See what he does. I put my, because he's very powerful, Lord Brahma. I put my Maya. I do some of my magic. You know, there's this Astra City where people get 8 mystic perfections. They can do wonderful things. Brahma's the senior most person in the universe. He's got. Brahma can cast his body off and take a new body, we've read. Right? When his body becomes contaminated by something, then he just casts it off, takes a new body. He casts that old body off. There's a description there how he's casting these different types of bodies off, which are not very agreeable. So that's how powerful he is. Lord Indra can transfer his karma to somebody else. That's how powerful he is. Brahma's very powerful. So he's going to show his... Brahma's going to do his magic. He's going to take those boys and put them somewhere else. But because the material energy doesn't touch them as spiritual energy, then Prabhupada is saying here, Brahma can't actually take those boys. They're internal potency. They're coming from the spiritual world, Krishna's associates. So Brahma can't actually touch that energy. He can't deal with that stuff. He has no prerogative there. He has no entrance into that. He's in, is under Mahamaya. So then those Krishna's understanding everything, although he's not there. So then by Krishna's Leela Shakti, Yogamaya, then those boys disappear, and Maya boys appear, and those calves disappear. Yogamaya takes them somewhere else and replaces them. It's like with like the Maya Sita, Chaya Sita. Agni Dev took Sita and kept her safe and replaced her with an imitation for Ravana, because Ravana can't touch his spiritual energy. So like this, the Lord Brahma, he took those boys and calves. Now let's see what Krishna will do. He was on bated breath because he knew he's the Supreme Lord. And even in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he gives a chronological order of the different types of devotion, different types of service, different category of devotees. Narada is seeking the greatest devotee. He comes up eventually to Lord Brahma. We've heard, you know, because everyone's saying, not me, it's him, it's not me, he's great, I'm not great, he's great. So eventually he gets up to Lord Brahma. Oh, Lord Brahma, you're so great. You're the incarnate, actually, a Shaktavesh, a Guna avatar of the Lord. You get the Lord's darshan, you're born from the lotus, you're such a great devotee. No, I'm not a devotee. I disturb the Lord's pastimes. I'm interfering with his pleasure. What kind of devotee would do that? No, I'm not a devotee. You go see someone, Prahlad. So, like this, he was sorry that he. This will be coming up. Explain. He was sorry, but he was so his unbated breath. He was thinking, you know, this is Krishna. I shouldn't really be doing this. I shouldn't be really testing my Maya against his Maya. So then when he comes back, he saw that, come back and see the fun. He saw Krishna. Krishna left because the calves has wandered off. And suddenly they were just going to take lunch. They were all sitting down and, the calves, they disappeared. Krishna. Boys were afraid, because that's their livelihood, so their only responsibility. So Krishna says, don't worry, I'll just go. I got my flute. I'll go and I'll call them up. You just take your meals, carry on. I'll go and bring them back. So when Krishna couldn't find them, at that time Brahma took the boys and the calves. So Krishna couldn't find them. And Brahma came back. Of course Krishna knew. In a short while he knew what had happened. He's omniscient. That time, then, when he wants to be, he becomes omniscient. When he doesn't want to be, he becomes a little boy, forgetting about all his opulences by the arrangement of your mugdat, that's called his own yogamaya, his own internal potency. It covers his identity of the Lord, the all-powerful Supreme Lord, so that he can enjoy the role of being a little boy or a lover or whatever. And it can experience these different emotions like trepidation and fear sometimes. So Krishna was a little fearful. That's what Brahma saw. Krishna was looking here, there, and calling the calves, and no one's answering. And Brahma's smiling, and then he comes back, and the boys are gone, and he's calling, Sridham, where are you? As if he's in distress. Krishna and Brahma's seen that, but when Brahma actually goes to the place where then he sees the boys are still there. How it happened? So then he goes back to the cave that he put them in, and he sees they're still there. And he comes back and he sees they're here. So he thinks, what's happening? He said, what is Krishna doing? I'm bewildered. Is there one set or two sets? Is it when I see these boys here, when I go back to look in the cave, does Krishna quickly transfer them by his maya, put them back in the cave. And when I see them there, and when I come back here, Krishna quickly whisks them back from the cage and puts them here again. Or is there two sets? There should have actually been three sets. Someone else can explain that later. So he's bewildered. And then he will see some... There's how Krishna... Then Krishna reveals to him what those boys and calves are. Fantastic display of Jogamaya, which really knocks Brahma out. So stay tuned. This will all be revealed to us in the pages of Bhagavatam, and Brahma's stealing the boys and the calves of Lord Krishna. Jai Gopal Krishna ki jai, Bhakta Brahma ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sarvabhara ki jai, Agar Bhakta Vinda ki jai. All glories to the viewers, the sky viewers. Hare Krishna. Who, Brahma or us, she's saying? Who, Krishna? When Krishna appears in the material world, he acts like he's an ordinary boy, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, does that mean Krishna is affected by Maya? Yeah? Must be. Otherwise, how come he forgets he's the Supreme Lord? Yoga Maya. If he's the Supreme Lord, how can he enjoy goofing around with little kids in the forest? Playing with the amalaki fruits and a stick, and play with the bat, and play the original cricket or baseball. How can he do that if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How can he catch the tail of the calf and they run around and drag him through the dust and cow dung? He likes that. How can he do it if he's God? So therefore, he allows his own potencies, Lila Shakti, he allows that to take over. So that covers him. That covers his identity of being God. So his identity is just a little village boy. Father's a king. Then he can, otherwise how can he enjoy those? How can he enjoy all the emotions of those things that children enjoy, the emotions that children enjoy? Or when he gets older as a son or a lover, or how can he experience those emotions if he's always aware that he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is his creation, all this thing is his idea, and all these living entities are expanded from me anyway. How can you enjoy like that? So yeah, he's covered. He's in Maya. But this Maya Mukdad is a very, very confidential, the personification of that Shakti. Very, very confidential, loving devotee of Krishna. So Krishna trusts completely that he'll place his whole existence in their hand, that they can do what they want with him, they can bewilder him. Because they'll only do it for his pleasure. Everything they do is for his pleasure. So they're expert. They're expert in the ways of loving relationships, whether conjugal or paternal or in friendship. They know this. They know the art of love and how to evoke these loving feelings. So therefore, Krishna allows them to arrange a pastime to take away his remembrance, and to so he can experience all these emotions. Oh, there's no fun being God. If you know past, present, and future, what's the fun in life? So they shut that. He doesn't know the future. He can't. He doesn't. But when he wants to, he can know. So, Yogamaya. Oh yeah. Thank you, Sitara. We're trying to help to make a Vrindavan garden in Mayapur. So we're getting some trees. Kalikadamba from Vrindavan, the little ones, we're growing now. And the pilu tree, pilu fruit, you heard, Krishna? We've got some pilu tree from Vrindavan. So we'll make a garden with all the Vrindavan plants and make the pastime places of Krishna and some exhibitions of his pastimes, like killing Agasura and Putana and things like that. Please help. Madamadama ki. Hare Krishna, Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.